Welcome to another faith-building message by Pastor Phil Pringle, leader of C3 Church. For more information about Phil and C3, please visit myc3church.net.
I got to tell you, I'm so thrilled to let you know, Pilgrims, our newest C3 music album is already here. The songs on this album are for our journey in Jesus. No matter where we are on that journey, in the valley or on the mountaintop, His love is unchanging, and so should our praise and worship be. Cannot wait for you to hear it. Head to iTunes or Google Play to download it today.
Thank you, Father, for the Word of God. We pray that as we dig into this Word this morning, You'd enlighten our hearts, stir worship in our soul, cause praise to pour out of our being towards God in heaven, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Just stay standing while we read the Word of God together. John 4 verse 23 says, but the hour is coming. Can you say this with me? But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. God bless you. Touch your neighbor and say, I'm glad I'm sitting next to you. Thank you very much. Thank you, guys. God bless you. I'm going to preach for about 20 minutes here this morning. And I really want to express my gratitude and appreciation to you for staying to the end of the services. Amen. Because at the end of this, I want to just engage in a little bit of worship then and pray for healing and for some miracles. As we sang about earlier on, I believe that when we worship God, we provide an atmosphere in which God can move. And when there's honor and worship and praise, God moves in the midst of His people. When Jesus went to His hometown, it said they did not give Him any honor. Means they didn't believe in Him. Worship and believing in God are the same thing. When we worship Him and give Him honor, we actually start to cause faith to rise on the inside of us. But unbelief gives God no honor at all. But when we honor Him and worship Him, we're doing it in spirit and in truth. And God is looking, as that scripture says, He is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. Spirit is enthusiasm. Spirit is the deepest part of your heart. Spirit is what defines you as being different from every other creature created on planet Earth. Every other creature on this earth does not have a spirit, but you have a spirit. And you can connect with God with your spirit. When you start to worship, your spirit is activated. It doesn't matter where you go on earth, you are not going to find a monkey or a baboon sacrificing chickens to the crocodile god. You will not find it anywhere because they do not have a spirit. But you and I know that we have a spirit and we are going to worship. You can go to the most ancient civilizations of man in the world today and you will find that they are worshiping something, that they're sacrificing to their gods. They're doing something because there is an ache on the inside of our spirit that desires to be reconnected to the spirit from where we came, and that is God Himself. And every time we praise and worship, we are reconnecting. It's like we've got a plug hanging out of our belly and it's just looking for the right socket. And we put it in this power supply and it's not enough. It just is the wrong kind of power. This has got the wrong amperage. This has got the wrong wattage. This is not the right plug for this. I'm in America and I've got an Australian plug or whatever. And finally, you find your God plug and you're boom, and it connects and power flows into your life. That's because you are a worshiper and you are designed to connect. And you will search your whole life looking for that connection because God wants to find you worshiping in spirit and in truth. When it says in truth, it means there must be false worshipers. He's looking for, because Jesus says the hour is coming when true worshipers. So there must be a worship that's fake, that's not real, that's just traditional, that's just religious. And you and I have to be so careful that we don't just wander into singing songs that mean nothing to our heart or nothing to our mind. We're not engaged in any part of our life. Do you know Psalm 103 verse 1 says, bless the Lord. Say it with me, people. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Why? Because he heals all my diseases. Why? Because he forgives all my iniquities. So how can all that is in me bless the Lord? Because all has been healed. All has been forgiven. All has been wiped away. So every part of me, God is looking for every part of me to be worshiping him. All my mind, all my heart, all my spirit, all my body as well. So that means that I can get active, that I can actually enter into worshiping and praising God with every part of my being. In fact, it's the first commandment. He says, worship God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. You know, I find it's like the ATM machine. If there's nothing in there, when I push the buttons, nothing comes out. Because I've got to put something in to get something out. And we could be in a state of wondering why God isn't doing anything in our lives. He might be wondering why we're not doing anything in his life. That we got to put something in there. There are three levels for worship. Three levels that take you into the presence of God. I don't think that we just take one step and we're there. I think we've got to take one step, then another step, then another step, and we'll be there. Those three levels are thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Thanksgiving is the key into everything that you're going forward to in your future. Thanksgiving is one of the most beautiful characteristics you could ever acquire. Yesterday, I was sitting at a table waiting for some coffee. I was going to meet somebody. I thought I'd do an hour's worth of work beforehand. All around me, there were people sitting, and I'm just working away there. But I started to listen in over on this table. I just tuned in a little because it just sounded like a whine. And I thought, I'll listen to the whine and find out what it was. Well, it was just a horrific, like had this... And it was about the ads on TV. Blinkety-blink ads all the time, you know. When I was a kid, there's only two, but now there's like 15 in between. I got to sleep between the ads, you know. It's like, I have to tape the thing and get rid of it. And they're all in the same thing. Yeah, the ads. I mean, what a thing to get heated up about. I mean, that's a serious matter, people. In a world that's falling apart, let's get heated up. But then it went on to the next thing. And the culture of the language and the conversation was all just money. Then I listened to this mom and her mother and the grandchild. Oh, he's always like this. You can't get him down. I can't do this. And, oh, yeah, well, you were like that when you were in, you know. And I go like, my God, look around you. The sun is shining. I got a good cup of coffee in my hand. Thank God I'm alive and breathing. Thank God for good people in my life. Thank God for all these things going on around me. And when you meet some people, it's like they got a magnet that's trying to draw you into their complaining. Yeah, because it's like, you can feel it and you feel it and you think of something to complain about. Don't do it. Don't do it. Fast road to hell. You're just going straight down into some dark conversation that'll make you leave you feeling miserable. When you thank God for things, it locates the positive and includes Jesus in the equation. And you always enjoy something more with somebody else, right? How many times have you been watching a sunset or Niagara Falls or something? You think, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. Every time I'm in church, I go like, oh, I wish that was here. Because it's so much better with another person who's there and you know that they could be enjoying what you're enjoying and you enjoy it twice as much. It reopens your eyes when you bring other people into your world. Whoever thought I'd be on my knees making Lego airplanes again? But grandchildren will do that to you. They're in your life and they reopen your eyes to the wonder of Legoland. Your eyes are open to all kinds of new things when you're with somebody. You see it through their eyes. When you thank God, you see the world through his eyes. You get him involved in your vision and you start to see the positives. You start to let other people, but it's not only God, it's people. A few years ago, I was wandering this auditorium, praying, crying out to God. We're going through a little tough time. One of our pastors went through a mishap, and it was ugly. It wasn't a good time. But and I was in here, sort of halfway depressed and halfway praying, and sometimes it's just the same thing. And using the Psalms of David to make my prayer up, amen. Oh God, help me. Woe is me. My soul is downcast, and because I don't complain to people, but just to God, amen. And so I'm there saying this, this is how I'm praying. And in walks a friend of mine, Steve Henderson, who's been in this church forever. Wonderful brother. And He saw me praying. He didn't know anything about what was going on. He just said, hey, look, I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for building all this and for all the stuff you do around here, for all the kids and all the youth. My kids are, you know, just doing so well. My family, my marriage, and all our friends. I just wanted to say thank you. Well, instantly that changed my life. Instantly that made me think about all the good things that are going on around my world. We do not know what people need to be thanked about in their life, but you can change a person's life today just by writing a little note, texting a little text, and thank you for that smile the other day. It was like the face of God. I'd only had frowns all day long, but your smile lifted my day, changed my world. We can change people's world just with little bits of thank you. Paul doesn't start one letter in the New Testament without first I give thanks. It's the way in. It's the first password. Psalm 100 says it's thanksgiving is the password into heaven. And you know, with this, listen, my friend, you need bug fixes. You need upgrades. You need new apps, all kinds of things, updates. But none of them are going to come your way without the password. You got to put that password in. And suddenly all those viruses in your spiritual system, that new operating system you want to walk by in the spirit, knowing things that you didn't know before and feeling things and being strong, all of that comes because you start with thanksgiving. That's the first step. Learn how to be a thankful, grateful, appreciative person. There's somebody today that you could say thank you to and start a new kind of culture language in your life of thanksgiving for all things. The second one is praise. Oh, I feel like just staying with thanksgiving. My God, it's so good. How about the leper who came back? The Lord said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. The other nine just got healed. He got made whole. Big difference. When your attitude has changed so much around, from one that you are a rejected, marginalized, disenfranchised victim in life, as a leper, isolated, rejected, separated from everybody, having to ring a bell and shout out leper, being stereotyped, being locked away into a victim mindset, victim lifestyle. Suddenly, when Jesus came into that boy's life, it changed everything. All of that was wiped away. But nine Israelites felt entitled and didn't even bother about coming back and saying thank you. This Samaritan said, man, I didn't deserve any of this. I'm coming back to church every week to say thank you. Amen. I'm coming back all the time to say thank you for setting me free. Come on, people, help me preach here. Every time we come into the house of God, we're saying thank you, thank you, thank you for changing my life. Okay, let me get on to the second thing. Praise. Praise. Never underestimate the power of praise. Whatever you got going in your life, lift your hands and praise God over it. Praise is about what God has done. Thanksgiving is about what he's done for me. Worship is about who he is. Worship is about entering his presence and then his presence entering me. You got to know that God is alive. He's not nothing. God is something. When you meet God, you are transported into another level of consciousness. Until we are born again, it's very hard to believe that there's a God. We've never experienced that. We've never felt that being tripped over into an eternal dimension. But the moment I met Jesus, he was there. I didn't know how I knew it, but I knew it. And a new awareness on the inside of me was awakened that I never knew was there either. But these eyes can only see a certain spectrum of light. Infrared and X-ray can see other spectrums. These ears can only hear a certain spectrum of sounds. Dogs can hear sounds I can't hear. The fact is there's a whole world out there that's not visible or audible to us, but that doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. And that's why faith takes you into that zone. And when you lift your hands and worship, you start to reconnect with the God who is there. And that will take you into your maximum potential. That will take you higher than you could ever get on your own abilities. You can't get there unless you contact and connect with the Father. The power of praise is a astonishing, astonishing weapon in our hands. It defeats the enemy. you lift your hands up and praise. Jehoshaphat discovered this when he was faced with a huge army of a confederacy of three kings, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and those from Mount Seir. And they all gathered together, and Jehoshaphat and his army was outnumbered 100-1. He says, God, what am I going to do? God says, nothing. Nothing. He says, even if you did something, it wouldn't work, right? You're outgunned. You're outnumbered. You're out intelligented. You're out whatever. Your enemy is bigger. The threats on your life, the things you fear, are bigger than what you feel capable of handling. So what does God tell? What does the prophet tell Jehoshaphat to do? Praise me. Start to praise God. And that's what they did. Imagine if you joined the choir the week before. Ooh, safe little job down the back of the temple, praising God. Jehoshaphat says, okay, we've got the army and you guys in the choir, you're out front. You're going to go out the front. We're just going to go out there and worship. We're going to go out and sing praises to God. That's what they did. And I've read the historian Josephus and other commentators on this. It is an unbelievable moment recorded in history that the Ammonites suddenly thought the Moabites were involved in a conspiracy to kill them. So they drew their swords on each other. And once they were involved in that battle, the other army from Mount Seir also joined in and started killing both of them until they had all killed each other. They didn't need to do a thing. They just need to lift their hands, and God sent them into confusion and they were wiped out. They didn't have to do it. All they had to do was start to praise God. Stop complaining, start praising. Stop moaning about the situation, start lift your hands, say praise God, praise God, praise God. You invoke a weapon far more powerful than anything this earth could ever bring your way. That is the power of praise. There's 150 psalms of praise in the Old Testament, and the New Testament says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Sing in those psalms. Use the psalms as part of the weaponry that God has given you. The last part of worship is worship itself, worshiping God for who he is, without reference to ourselves. It says in Romans 4:20, Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Abraham didn't waver at what was going on in his life. He didn't stumble or stagger. He didn't fall over. He didn't give up. He didn't collapse. He didn't implode or explode. He simply kept walking. How did he keep walking when he didn't want to keep walking? How are you going to keep going when you want to stop? How are you going to stand up when you want to sit down? How are you going to find that strength to actually bust through the walls that are threatening you with total hindrance and defeat? You start to worship God. In spite of your difficulties, in spite of your problems, turn your mouth around today and commit it to Jesus and say, I'm going to start worshiping. I'm going to give glory to God like Abraham. I'm going to enter into that final holy place where the priest, the high priest alone could go in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, all the priests would come into the open court with thanksgiving. Priests could go into that holy place, the next level. But only one person could ever go into that final cubicle called the Holy of Holies, where there was an ark and the presence of God was in there. Well, Jesus busted all that open. He said, not once a year, every day. Not just one person, every person can come all the way into the very presence of God. We are sitting here today with the greatest opportunity you could ever have in your whole life, and that is to commune with the creator of the entire universe, to actually connect and commune and understand that this is your moment, your opportunity, your life to actually find grace and power and strength that you've been looking for all your life. Let's all stand up. We're going to sing one last song here. And I believe that God has got so much in store for every single person in this room. But one of the greatest things we can do, we were designed to do it, was to worship and to praise and to magnify God. Hey everyone, what a joy it is to bring the Word of God to so many people all around the world every week. And I just love technology for that reason.
that we're able to broadcast through television, through podcasts, through social media, and to bring Jesus into people's worlds in all kinds of ways. Obviously, there are costs to that. There are expenses in reaching out and accomplishing this preaching of the gospel. And in the book of Romans, Paul says, "How shall I go unless somebody send them?" And he's talking about the beautifulness of the preaching of the gospel, how it brings peace and joy into people's worlds. And so the people who are sending us into other people's worlds is you and the people of our congregations. And I'd love you to join with them and with us as partners, sending the gospel throughout all the world through all these means that God has put in our hands. And as we partner together, I know that there will be thousands of people in heaven for eternity because of our efforts together. God has called us to do this, and we depend on people to send us and support us in taking the gospel to the world. I want to say thank you for standing with us and believing God. I'm praying and asking God to touch you and to bless your seed that you sow so that you'll experience an incredible harvest in your lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. You can order any of Pastor Phil's resources at philpringle.com or at c3store.com. We are always encouraged to hear the stories of great decisions you have made and the great things God is doing in your life. So if you have a story to share, or if you have a prayer request, please email us at podcast@myc3church.net.